go through the last message on this on the series here, the security of the saved, Lord, that we would be able to rest and know where we stand in you. And Lord, that the enemy would have no way into our minds and hearts of bringing in doubts for those who have come to faith in you, Lord. Eternal life is eternal. And Lord, as we deal with some of these, as we've dealt with some of these verses that bring the security of the saved into question, Lord, I just pray that there has been a growing peace about where we stand with you, and that our salvation is for all time, that is given by you. So Lord, use this time for your glory. And Lord, I just also pray, if there's any out in here who don't know you yet, Lord, that you'd be speaking to them about your love, your passion for them, your pleasure in them. And Lord, that they would hear you calling and believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Lord, bless this time. Use it for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the security of the saved. Well, we've gone through some challenging verses that have caused us to ask, you know, is this really saying that we can lose our salvation? And we've hit three of them, this is the fourth. And my hope and prayer is that there is a growing joy and peace that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that eternal life is eternal. That it's not a gift that God gives and then says, just kidding, and takes it back. But that we would have confidence in who Christ is, what he says he was going to do, what he did, and who we are in him. Today I titled the message, A New Identity in Christ, because we're going to do something a little different, which is, since this is the last one, we're going to start off with a scripture, and it's 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. But then we're going to end with our true identity in Christ, in the scripture after scripture that reminds us about the truth of who we are. And so those can all be found in your bulletins, in your insert. And I just pray that God would bless us this morning as we go through his word. Let's look at 2 Peter here. 2 Peter 2, 20 through 22. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. So as we have these beautiful Christmas decorations, we're talking about vomit and mud. All right. Praise God. Hey, guys. At first look, this looks like what is this saying? Is this saying that we could possibly come to a place of knowing and then not knowing? But I want to take this, and I think it's always so important for us, number one, what? To take everything in context. To take everything in context. These people, I believe I know what this scripture is saying is they were never genuinely saved. What is a dog returning to? It's vomit. Have you guys noticed that it talks about the dog and the sow? And as it's talking about the dog and the sow, it doesn't say they were people and it's saying they returned to what they are. So the person, the dog and the sow, the representative words, it's not that giving them a new identity and then they return to the old identity of the sow, but it's saying that the sow and the dog, they return to what they knew. That they knew about him, but they didn't know God personally. They hadn't been saved, that they hadn't put their faith in him. There's no new creation that has occurred here. They've returned and they've gone back to what they had always been. The sow and the dog. The old was not gone. This passage, guys, is a great example to us of not taking a verse out of context. And remember what it also is talking about. What is the whole second chapter talking about? It's talking about false teachers. False teachers do not have God's Spirit in them. And what does verse 17 say? It says that they are wells without water. So just a few verses earlier, in context, it's talking about them and saying that these false teachers are wells without water. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. But Scripture says that Christ's Spirit is what? Living water. Living water. And so we can have a joy in that. This passage does not suggest that the Spirit has gone away from the people, has withdrawn from the people, that they were never born, but it's saying that they were never born again in the first place, that they stayed the dog and the sow. Another thing to keep in mind is in verse 20 it says, how can they be overcome by the world? Verse 20, how can they be overcome by the world? Verse 20 says, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and again entangled in it, are they overcome? And are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. And so guys, how can they be overcome? By the world. What do we know about us as believers in Christ? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. We are not overcome by the world. It's not something that we go in and out of, guys. But it's something that we have a strong security in. This passage doesn't teach that we can lose our salvation. It's doing the exact opposite. Another thought on this is the term knowing in verse 20. It can have several different meanings, and the first one is an intellectual awareness. And that's what it's talking about here, is these false teachers had an intellectual awareness. They had an understanding, an intellectual understanding. Have you been there? Did you get to an intellectual understanding of God before you came to Him? Some people here, many people, they grow up. Anybody here grow up in the church and then not get saved till later? Right? You grow up knowing about Him, hearing about Him, and you have an intellectual understanding. You know about God. But it doesn't mean that you know Him and are known by Him. And so we have to keep that in mind as we're moving forward. 2 Peter 2 is all about false teachers not preaching the truth and their character, how they can be recognized and the dangers that they present. 2 Peter 2 verses 1 through 3 say this: but these were also false prophets. This is right before, this is the introduction to what we're talking about. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Guys, this whole section is about these false teachers and what they're bringing. And we know that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that our salvation is permanent and our salvation is secure. That eternal life is eternal. That it's for all time. We know that our salvation is permanent. 1 John 5:13 says this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I want you to think about that for a minute. What does God want us to know through the Scripture? That we may know that we have eternal life. The reason the gospel's been given, and it's been given so clearly, and it's been given in so many different ways through so many different pictures and stories, is so that we would have no discouragement in our faith. That we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt where we stand with Jesus Christ. That for those of us who have come to a place of believing, that there would be a peace. Guys, when we went from unbelief to belief, we went from the lies to the truth. We went from death to life. And that life is eternal, and it cannot be taken away. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we are of true faith in him, guess what happens if we come to true faith in him? We persevere. We keep moving forward. Do we struggle at times in our faith? Anybody else? Do we struggle at times in our faith? Absolutely. Faith is hard. Working out our salvation, sanctification, growing in God, it does not happen easily. Justification, transformation, that in a sense is one of the easiest parts because it's hard right before it because it means we humble ourselves before God. But God does the work and it's immediate. But that's the justification. But the sanctification, the growing in our salvation, the growing in our walk with God, man, we're taking all the habits that we had before salvation and now we're trying to bring those under the truth of Christ. And his will for us, and his truth for us. And it's very difficult. So we can have a confidence of who we are in Christ. So, guys, I wanted to end this series with years and years and years ago. My mother, who recently passed, she led me through Neil Anderson's Steps to Freedom in Christ. And she came and taught at different ministries that I'd been a part of walking people through, knowing where they stand with Jesus Christ and having the spiritual freedom that God wants us to have by replacing the lies of the enemy with the truth about who we are in Christ. And one of the things I want to do is end this series with really looking at what it means to be a believer. All the scriptures that go over the truth of who we are. There's three sets of things as it talks about who I am in Christ. It's I am accepted because of these scriptures. I am secure because of certain scriptures that we'll go over. And I am significant. And the first ones are I am accepted. And it starts in John 1:12, and it says this, I am God's child. Guys, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can say, I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I am united with the Lord, and I am one in spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6 says, I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I am a member of Christ's body. Ephesians 1:1, and many different books that start the books say what? I am a saint. If you are a believer in Christ, guess what? You're a saint. Everybody here feel like a saint all of the time? There are some days where I look at that and I'm like, the halo's a bit tilty today. I'm not feeling too saintish. But the truth of what Christ is, not of how I feel or even of what I've done, but the truth of who Christ says I am, who he says you are in Christ by what Christ has done, you are a saint. Ephesians 1:5, I've been adopted as God's child. We hit that last week, didn't we? What it means to be a child of God and our sin doesn't take us out of the family. We are in the family. And even when my children sin, guess what? They stay my children. How much more a perfect, loving God says, hey, you're my adopted child. You're something special. you belong to me. Ephesians 2:18, I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. And God's word says, I have direct access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:14, I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Guys, do you realize that when we came to faith in Jesus, all our sins were forgiven because we had to be made right to be made to be with God? And remember, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. God is in us, and God cannot be connected with sin. And so our sin had to be dealt with. I've been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Our sin doesn't separate us from God as believers. Because I want to say that again. Your sin doesn't separate you, doesn't take you out of faith. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, your sin doesn't take you out of relationship with him. But it does mean our sins are uncovered if we're outside of faith. And so we need to come to faith in Jesus. But once we do, the old is gone, the new is here. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. These are all areas of who I am in Christ that I am accepted. The next areas of scripture that I want to cover is I am secure. I am secure in who I am for Christ. Guys, once again, what is security talking about? Not losing our salvation, right? That our salvation is secure. Romans 8:1-2 talks about, I am free from condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In faith, we are free from condemnation. Romans 8:28, I am assured that all things, what? Work together for good. That means when things come up and they're challenging, my security is not in the situation that I'm finding myself in. My security is not in everything going right, and when things are hard, does that mean I'm in trouble with God? Does that mean my faith is being challenged in a way where I could lose it? No. I'm assured that all things work together for good. That means I can have a peace in the midst of the storm. Romans 8:31-34 talks about, I am free from any condemning charges against me. And we have charges made against us by the enemy, don't we? He is constantly trying to tempt us into sin and then pointing the finger and saying, and you call yourself a believer. And the goal of the enemy is to take us out of our joy. Because once we come to faith, he can't mess with that anymore. When I come to true faith in Christ, he's not greater than Christ. The enemy is not greater than the work of my Savior. So he knows he's lost the battle for my soul. But what can he do? He can get me to believe lies and live as though those lies are true, even if it's temporary, taking away my joy. But I'm free from any condemning charges against me. Romans 8:35-39, I cannot be separated from the love of God. Guys, what can separate you from the love of Christ? What does that scripture say? Not even death. It gives this long list of things, and with death, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You see, my love, it's not perfect. God's love is. And at times I turn my back and I'm out of fellowship, but not out of relationship. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, I have been established, anointed, and sealed. I love that. Sealed by God. The royal seal has been put on me, and that cannot be broken. It was sealed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, by his royal ring. We are sealed in him. Philippians 1:6, I am confident that God will finish his good work in me. God's not done with us yet. All I can say with that is praise God. Because I have a lot of work ahead of me. I have a long way to go. Praise God that I've got justification, but I have also, praise God also, that I've got the sanctification. God's continuing to work out his will in my life. I'm continuing to be broken. We are continuing to be broken before him. And that is good, good news. Philippians 3:20, I'm a citizen of heaven. Guys, think about that. We're camping right now. We've got tents. Some of you have some tents that are a little rugged. Some of you are glamping. Glamour camping. Right? But they're just tents. Our citizenship, where we belong, where we go for our census, our home identity, our home turf is in heaven. It's good to play at home, isn't it? Yeah. The Seahawks know what that's like. All right. See, I did it again. I got to work the Seahawks in. All right. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm hidden with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. 2 Timothy 1:7. I have not been given a spirit of fear. I love this one, guys. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. You see, in this new identity, when I went from spiritual death to spiritual life, when I experienced eternal life, I was given not a spirit of fear. I don't have to be fearful of what's ahead of me now, what's before me, what's around me, what's over me. I don't have to have a spirit of fear, but I have a power that comes from Christ himself through relationship with him. And through that, I have love. I can experience God's love, and I can give away God's love. And I get sound mind. I don't know if you've noticed, if you read the papers, it's shocking. We have an unbelievable epidemic of drugs being prescribed for people struggling with a sound mind. It's happening more and more, and some people need to have some medication. There's a medical need for it, and it's necessary. But others, wouldn't it be great to be made whole in Christ mentally and to not have that spirit of fear that causes us to retreat and fear the things around us? Anybody here ever experienced a phobia? When there is a spider in our house, I am a superhero. Time after time, I come to save. Here I am to save the day. Right? I get to come in, and all I have to do is kill this tiny little spider that sometimes it's so small I can barely see it with my bad vision. And it's like, where is it? Where is it? Oh, it's up here, Dad. It's up here. Where? Oh, that dot. Okay. They're really impressed actually, they're kind of grossed out, not impressed, but when I use my hand, I don't even get a toilet paper. But the joy of having a sound mind that we don't have to have fears that overtake us and overcome. And not just fears of things like that, but real fear. Fears that cause us to retreat emotionally. Fears that cause us to shrink back and not to experience the joy of who Christ is and who we are in him. We can have sound mind. Hebrews 4:16 says, I can find grace and mercy in times of need. You been in a time of need? Whew, right? And it's not just talking physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, relational needs. Guys, when the relationships with people around us are broken, guess what? God's interested. He's involved. When we pray, he hears our prayers. When we pray, he goes before us. He's interested in the whole person. The whole person. John 5, 1 John 5:18. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. I love that. I love that. I'm born of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe in Jesus, it means you're born of God. You've gone from death to, you were born of God to eternal life. And now the evil one, he can't touch you. He can lie to you, but he can't touch you. That means he's always provides, God always provides a way out, a way through. There is no temptation which is greater than Christ in us. And so no matter what's coming at us, now sometimes we fall. It's a reality. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we give in to temptation. But there's no temptation which comes at us which is greater than the love of Christ and the truth of Christ in us. God always provides a way out. Back to more sound mind, right? Back to... I love that. Those are all the areas of who I am in Christ. I am secure in my salvation. And because we are secure, we have significance in him, in Christ. Matthew 5, 13 and 14 say, I am the salt and life of the earth. The salt and life. Salt is life-giving. And life of the earth. I am a branch. And am I these things because of what I've done or what Christ has done for me? And who I am in him. It's because of who I am in him and what he's done for me that I'm the salt of the earth and the light of the earth, that I'm a branch of the true vine and a channel of his love. John 5:16 says, I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. Guess what, guys? We have a purpose. We have eternal life, but it's not just for us. We were saved once and for all for his purpose. And God has planned things for us to do. We're not just trying to make it through. You ever believe the lie, I just got to get through the day? That's a lie from the pit of hell. We don't just got to get through the day. We get to be about God's purposes for the day. We have a purpose, an eternal purpose. God has saved us for his purposes. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I love that one. Acts 1:8. I am a personal witness of Christ. That means we get to go to our backyard. We get to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We get to go to our own backyard. We get to go to Samaria, to the people that the world says, let's just pretend those people don't exist. We get to go a little bit further out. We get to go to the ends of the earth. With the love of who Christ is and how he changed our lives and how he can change theirs. We get to start in our own backyard. 1 Corinthians 3:16, I'm God's temple. Think about that. You're of great value to God. You're a living sacrifice. You're a joy. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 says that I am a minister of reconciliation for God. Guess what? You have a purpose, and it's to reconcile. It's to bring the gospel message, sometimes in words, sometimes in deed, sometimes in just relationship, sometimes in just love, sometimes in prayer. We get to bring the gospel to those around us, and it is a joy. We are ministers of reconciliation to God. What we've experienced, we get to give it away. We get to share our testimony. Guys, when's the last time you gave a testimony to a friend? When's the last time you shared what God's done in your life? You know what? Your friend wants to know. They're looking for reasons and purpose. We spend all, look at the commercials. We spend all this time and effort and finances trying to figure out what life's about. And the song that comes to my mind in that is, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Guys, we want to let it shine. We want to let it go forth. Man, when you've got something blessed, something beautiful, what do you want to do? You want to give it away. You want others to know of that blessing. 2 Corinthians 6:1, I am God's co-worker. He works through us. We work through him. His spirit is what does the work through us. It's not our effort. It's him working through us. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We already have a new... We don't have to wait till we die to experience the kingdom of God. Yes, we experience it only in part now. And one day we will experience it in full, but we get to experience his kingdom now. His ruling presence in our lives now. You guys, that means the weight of authority is off of our shoulders. Think about that. The weight of authority, holding all the... Have you ever been in charge and you knew you weren't able to hold the weight of that authority? Have you ever been in a situation where people were looking to you and you were like, well, who do I get to look at for the answers? You ever been in... I've been in that position where people were looking to you for the answers, and I've had a number of times where people have been looking for the right words, and I've had to say, I got nothing. Can we pray? Because I got nothing. I don't have the answer. Let's pray. Let's go to the one who does. Let's go to the one who has the answers, because I'm as tongue-tied as you right now. I'm as confused in the situation as you are. But I know the one who knows the answers. Let's speak to him. Ephesians 3:12, I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I love that. Do you know that you can approach him at any time? Because you're his child. You're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. And so as a child, we can say to our Father, and this isn't like our earthly fathers. Many of you have wonderful earthly fathers, praise God. But this is a perfect heavenly Father who doesn't make mistakes. And we can come to him at any time, and we can approach him in freedom and confidence of who we are. We're his children. And even if we've been struggling, guess what? The prodigal son, the prodigal daughter can always come home. And come home as a child, not as a servant. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a one to end on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing that comes against the child of God that we cannot have victory over. Why? Not because we're good enough, strong enough, smart enough. No. But because we have a heavenly Father who's given us our identity. And no matter what comes before us, even the challenge of death, we have eternal life. Think about that. Even the challenge of death gets mocked before God, gets taken down before. Why? Because death has no victory over us, because we are eternal. And for eternity, we are with God in his presence, in a relationship like none we've ever experienced before. Because when the veil is removed, when we get to experience the kingdom of God in full, man, it's beautiful, guys. It is going to be beautiful. And that's where we put our hope. And so I realized it may be a little different of an ending of what you were thinking about how we would end with this scripture. But my hope and prayer is that it makes sense. That as we start with the scriptures, that does, what is this saying? Can we we can't lose our salvation. But what does that mean? If we can't lose our salvation, what is that true? That means we're secure in Him. We're significant in Him. We've got a purpose in Him. We've got a pleasure in Him. And that's our hope and that's our joy. And as we come to this Christmas season, I want to encourage you, let your light shine. Let the love of Christ hit those. Look for opportunities to serve the people around you. Look for opportunities to be a servant, just like our Christ was to us. Let's give the love. Let's give the greatest gift this Christmas away again and again this season, this Christmas time. Let's give the gift of life and love away. Let's do it with joy. Let's look for opportunities. Because we're surrounded by a bunch of brokenness. We're surrounded by tough situations in life. Let's give away the only thing truly of eternal value, and that's Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you that eternal life is just that, eternal. Not temporary, or not unless you do a big bad thing. But Lord, if we truly come to faith, we go from death to life, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Lord, I just pray that each one here would have such a peace as the understanding of the truth of your word is made more and more clear, Lord. Bless your people here. Lord, we pray for this community. Bless them. Lord, we pray for the other churches in this community that the light would go forth. We pray for the leaderships of the other churches, Lord, that we pray for all of the Christians in this community. Lord, that we would go forth in unity, in love, in purpose. In a world that's divided and split and angry and broken, that the people of God would go out in love and truth and share your goodness. Lord, thank you that it's not up to us jumping through the hoops, but you have finished the work. It is finished. And you don't have to go back up on the cross. You did it once and for all. We come to you once and for all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for including us. I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you yet, Lord, speak to them. I pray that they would believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and be saved. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.